This sermon that I'm going to preach this morning and the rest of it tonight was conceived a few weeks ago. It was on the Sunday when Brother Leonard and Teresa, in open assembly at Sunday school, led us in some songs that they were singing in junior church, that they sing in junior church, and they had a stop sign and a go sign. And you remember, those of you that were here, Brother Leonard had a tough time getting the signs just right. But one of the songs that goes with the word stop says, "Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." And then there's a little song that goes with the word go. And I had heard that song before, but as we were singing it that Sunday, it reminded me of a little song that I learned as a child. A song that my mother taught me that to help me cross the street. And I don't even remember the tune of it, but I remember the words where she said, "You stop, you look, and you listen." Of course, you don't just run into the street, and maybe some of you learned that same little song. I think I saw it on Mr. Rogers not too long ago. Not that I watch Mr. Rogers, that little song reminds us that, you know, before you just don't go running out into the street, that you stop at the curb. And then you look both ways, and then you listen, because my mom taught me that sometimes at night, somebody might not have their lights on, and even though you might not be able to see them, if you listen, you can hear. And so if you stop and then look and then listen, you can cross the street safely. And those words have stuck with me all my life. I mean, even today, when I cross the street, even just to go to the mailbox, which is across the street from my house, I'll stop and I'll look and I'll listen before I cross the street. And I've been thinking since the last 4 or 5 weeks, since that I was reminded of that song, that God has done the same thing for us. In three little words, He has summed up for us what life in Christ is all about. Three little words: the word come, the word follow, and the word go. Come, follow, go. And like I said a few minutes ago, I'm going to preach a sermon that I've entitled that, Come, Follow, Go. And this morning I'm only going to get through the word come. And if you want to get the word follow and go, you're going to have to come back tonight to get the rest of the message. So this morning, I want to focus in on that word come. The word come is the start of the Christian life, because the Christian life starts when we make a decision to come, when we make a decision to come to Jesus. Here's how it works. We hear the gospel. We hear the fact that we are all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it tells us in Romans chapter 3. And then we hear that there's a penalty for that sin, Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death. And then we hear that Jesus paid that penalty, a verse that Brother Leonard quoted in Sunday school this morning. But God commendeth, or proved, His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, and so He paid the penalty for our sin by dying on the cross. And then we hear the promises from the Bible that say, if we come to Him, He'll save us from paying that penalty ourselves, He'll give us life, and He'll give us heaven. Now, I want to tell you this morning that every single person has enough faith to believe that. Dave, I want you to come up here and help me, if you would, this morning. If you would come over here and stand here, we're going to let Dave represent all of us that are sinners, that hear the gospel. And the Bible says that God, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'm going to let this little tract represent faith. And God gives to every single person enough faith. Just represented, again, faith's not a thing. It's believing something that you can't see. It's putting your faith in something that you can't touch. And so I know we can see this and we can touch it, but I want it to represent our faith, because the Bible says God gives to every single person A little bit of faith, but enough faith to believe that we're sinners, that there's a penalty for that sin, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty, and that if we will come to Him, He'll pay the penalty for us, He'll give us life, and He'll give us heaven. And so we're invited to come. But before we're even invited to come, God does something else for us. Not only does He deal to us enough faith to believe that, but the Bible says that the Father draws us. Bob, if you would come up and represent God for me this morning. Do you have a belt on? Would you loop that through your belt? Okay, now, again, this is sinner, represents all of us. Dealt by God enough faith to believe the gospel. Here's God the Father. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Now, here's the Father. Now, He is going to draw us to Him. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a big tug of war where God's going to pull us regardless of where we want to come or not. So go back over there. Doesn't mean that. It means here's a sinner who's got enough faith to believe the gospel. He's heard the gospel, and to get him started on this trip to salvation, God gives him a little tug. No, I'm not God. Come on, Bob, get ready. So, gives him a little tug. Again, David can withstand that tug. He can stand right here and decide, I am not coming. God can pull all He wants, and God will tug. But it's not enough force to force Him to go that way. It's enough force that if He wants to come, He can get started. And so, God deals to every man a measure of faith. God draws us to Him with a little tug. Then we are invited to come. Bill, I want you to come. Stand right about here, if you would. We're invited to come. There's several different people that invite us to come to Jesus. The first one is Jesus Himself. We're going to let Bill represent Jesus. And the Bible says, as Chuck read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says to this sinner, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so, get the picture. I mean, you know, as Kelly sang a moment ago, I just can't comprehend the kind of love that God has for me. When I think about it, it just sends chill bumps up and down my arms and my back. It thrills my soul to know that God, that He didn't wait for me to reach out to Him. He reached out to me. And He gave me everything that I needed to get saved. He gave me enough faith. The Father gives me a pull to start me in that direction. And then I get a personal invitation from Jesus Christ when He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now here's what that invitation means. Here's a sinner. And he all ye that labor, here's the picture. All ye that are working for salvation on your own. And by the way, this is not a new thing. People have worked to get right with God from the Garden of Eden. After the Garden of Eden, after they were kicked out. But the first person born to a human parents, the first person that had a mom and a dad that were human beings, decided that he was going to work to get right with God, and that was Cain. See, the God had said, "Hey, if you want to come to me, you need to come with the blood sacrifice." Cain said, "No, I got a better way. I'm a farmer. I'm going to bring my produce. I'm going to bring what I've made myself out of the ground." And ever since that time till this day, there are people in this room this morning that are following in the example of Cain. You're trying to work your way to God, and you're laboring. And you say, "Well, if I do a certain thing, if I be a certain thing, if I join a certain thing, God will make me right with Him. I can get my sins forgiven." And that's the person that Jesus is inviting. "Come unto me, all ye that labor." You don't need to labor to get to God. You just need to come. I'm glad I don't have to work for my salvation. If I got to work to get salvation, I'd probably have to work to keep it. And I can't work that much. And neither can you. I'm glad when Jesus died on the cross, he paid it all. There's nothing else we need to do except to come. And we get an invitation from Jesus that says, come unto me, all ye that labor. And then it says, are heavy laden. Are heavy laden. You see, as sinners, we are heavy laden with sin. Brother Leonard was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. Do you know that sin is like a progressive buildup in our life? It starts with a little sin. Remember the first sin that you committed? No. Long time ago, 42 years. First sin, maybe it was disobedience to parents. Maybe it was a little white lie. A little sin. But you know, that sin grows and it keeps piling on. Brother Leonard talked about it in Sunday school and he said, we get accustomed to sin. You know, that first little lie that we tell as a child may prick our conscience and it may hurt us, but after we tell about 20 of them, we don't think about it so much. And that's the way sin works. It just keeps piling up, piling up, and piling up. And here's the invitation from Jesus that says, hey, come unto me, all ye that labor, all you that are working for your salvation, and all ye that are heavy laden, burdened with sin. And he says, I. You see, the invitation is to come to the Savior. The invitation is to come to the Son of God. The invitation is to come to the way, the truth, and the life. Your mom and dad and your grandpa and grandma and your pastor and your Sunday school teacher may love you, but they can't do anything about getting you into heaven. But Jesus Christ can. That's why he says, come, if you'll come unto me, I will give you rest. You can quit working for your salvation. You can quit laboring to do something or be something or to join something. Because Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give what you're looking for. I'm going to give you a heaven. I'm going to take care of your sins. I'm going to give you peace and purpose and meaning in your life. I'm going to take care of everything if you will just come to me. And so just think about it. God gives us enough faith to believe all that. He gives us a little tug from a little tug, Bob, come on. Okay, a little tug to head in that direction. We get an invitation, move back just a little bit, Bill. We get an invitation from Jesus Christ himself, but something else. Hey, Daniel, come up here and help me for a second. We get an invitation from the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit says, come. Now, the Holy Spirit lives inside of Christians. I'm a Christian. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Follow me around. He goes with me every place I go. There's not a place that I go. There's not a thought. Come on. There's not a thought that I think. I mean, there's nothing. The Holy Spirit, that part of God, lives in me. But the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of sinners. Doesn't. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit visits sinners. The Holy Spirit visits a person like Dave, and he says something like this. He says, you need to go. You need to come to the Savior. And so the Holy Spirit, although he doesn't live in the sinner because he lives in us, the Holy Spirit visits sinners, and every visit that the Holy Spirit makes, he gives the same invitation to this sinner. You need to come. You need to come. Man, just isn't this wonderful? I mean, we get enough faith to believe this. We get a tug from God. We get a personal invitation from Jesus Christ. We get an invitation from the Holy Spirit who visits us as sinners and tells us that we need to come. But God does more. He's not done yet. In that, by the way, the Holy Spirit, when he's talking to this sinner, he says, hey, it is reasonable for you to come. It's reasonable. Here's how the Holy Spirit's reason. I was reading in Isaiah this week, and I ran across that verse in chapter 1 where it says, "Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though be white as snow, they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And God says, "Hey, let me reason with you about coming to Jesus." Who made you? God did. God made us. You know why he made us? So we could be with him. God made me so that I could be with him and fellowship with him. And by the way, God made each one of you for the same purpose. You were made to be with God. Now, our sin separates us from God. By the way, that's what the Bible talks about when it says the wages of sin is death. It's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. It's talking about being separated from God. Our sin separates us from God. And as the Holy Spirit reasons with sinners, here's what he says. You were made to be with God. Your sin is keeping you from God. There is nothing that you can do to overcome that sin. You just can't do it. Nothing you can do, nothing you can be, nothing you can join to do that. And so God made a way for you to get back to him. And that way is Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. He's our daysman. He's the one that stands between us and God with a way to get back with God. Now, you're a logical, reasonable man. If you were made to be with God, and your sin separates you from being with God, and there's nothing you can do to overcome that sin, it's only reasonable that you accept the way that God made for you to get back to him. I mean, why would you want to live a life apart from the purpose in which you were created? That's why so many people live empty lives in the world today. They have no meaning, no purpose. They were made, they were created to be with God, and their sin separates them from God, and they try to find peace and satisfaction and meaning and purpose in all sorts of other things, and everything that the world has to offer comes up empty. It will not fill that part of your life that was made to fellowship with God. And so the Holy Spirit, who doesn't live in the center, but who visits, and with every visit extends an invitation, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Christ. But that's not all. God does something else for us. Let's see, Harley, could I get you to help me? And Red, you come up. You two got... all right, Brother Earl, would you help me? Okay, come on. Harley, you and Earl, come up here. In that same verse in Revelation, the Bible says that we are not only invited by Christ, not only are we invited, if you two would come right up here and stand, not only are we invited by the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says in that same verse in Revelation chapter 22, and the bride says, come. That bride is the church. When the Bible talks about the bride of Christ, it's talking about the church. Again, not this building. Talking about the called out assembly. It's talking about us as the church. And not only do we get enough faith to believe, not only do we get a tug from God, not only do we get a personal invitation from Jesus Christ, not only do we get an invitation and an encouragement to come from the Holy Spirit, we get an invitation to come from the church, from those that have received Christ already. And here's the message that the church gives to this sinner. Hey, one time I was just like you. I was a sinner. I was separated from God. I had no way to get to God. And just like you, I had a measure of faith. God gave me enough faith to believe the gospel. And one time, there was a time in my life where I heard and I understood for the first time that I really was a sinner and that I had to face the penalty of sin. And when somebody told me about Jesus, and when somebody told me that he went to the cross and he died in my place, and when somebody told me that if I just come to him and put my faith and trust to him, I could get all my sins forgiven and taken away and paid for, and I could be right with God, I made a decision. That's what Brother Earl can say. That's what Brother Harley can say. They can turn around and say to Brother Dave, it worked for me. It worked for me. And it'll work for you. Boy, don't we got a good God? That's why the Bible says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He dealt us a measure of faith. We get a pull from God. We get a personal invitation from Jesus Christ. We get an invitation to come from the Holy Spirit. We get an invitation to come from the bride of Christ, the church. Okay, thank you, guys. You know, I'll go back and sit down. Dave, untie yourself there. Thanks. So here's what it comes down to. Very, very simply. Are you going to come? Are you going to come? That's where the Christian life starts, when you come. And the choice is pretty simple. You either take that, you still got my faith? Let me have it. You either take that little bit of faith that God gives to every person, and you feel that tug of God, and you decide, and you hear the Holy, you hear the invitation from Christ, you hear the invitation from the Holy Spirit, you hear the invitation from the church, and you say, okay, I'm gonna decide. I'm gonna make a decision. A decision of my will. Yeah, I know sometimes there's emotion that goes along with it. I know sometimes there's tears of happiness, tears of joy, but I know there's other times when there's no emotion at all. And you don't. I'm glad we don't have to depend on emotion. I'm glad that this is a decision of our will, where we can decide. I'm gonna take this faith. I'm gonna respond to that pull of the Holy of God. I'm gonna listen to the invitation of Christ. I'm gonna listen to the invitation of the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna listen to the invitation of the church, and I'm going to go to Jesus. I decide I'm gonna go to Jesus. Now, you have another choice as well. You can decide not to go to Jesus. But understand, when you're deciding whether to come or not to come, you are deciding whether to accept life or to accept death. Because the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 40, and this is Jesus talking, he says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Here's Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here's the sinner. The choice is in your hands. God gives you a tug, yes, but you can resist that tug. He gives you an invitation from Jesus Christ, yes, but you can resist that invitation. The Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, you need to go, but you can resist that. The church says, you need to go, but you can resist that. But as you resist, realize you are choosing death. Jesus said, I want to give you life. I want to give you life, but you won't come to me that I can give it to you. So it comes down to that simple decision. Are you going to come or not come? No preconditions. No changes you need to make in your life before you come. We sang that song sometimes, just as I am, without one plea in the end of it. It says, I come, just as I am. I come. This morning I'm going to ask Brother Dick for our invitation song, if we can sing that song, Only Trust Him. Because that song starts out like this. Come, every soul, by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Would you come this morning? I don't know what more God could have done for us. I don't know how. I mean, it's only reasonable. I don't know how any person, after all God's done for us, can reject Jesus and reject the gospel. I just don't. I don't know how you can if you've never received him. And this morning, I ask you not. I ask you not to reject him. I ask you to come so that he can give you life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And thank you for making it so simple, for giving us everything we need. You made it so simple a little child could understand it. You made it so simple that any adult could understand it. And I pray, Father, this morning for that one that may be here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that all they have to do this morning is decide to come. I'm not asking them to join the church. I'm not asking them to become a Baptist. I'm asking them to come to Jesus Christ, the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Father, I don't care if it's somebody here for the first time or if somebody has been coming week after week after week. Man, woman, boy, girl, old, young, in between. God, the invitation that you give is open to every single person. And every single person has the ability to make that decision this morning to come. And Father, I pray in the next few moments, every single person here that doesn't know Christ, that's never made that decision, will decide today to come to Jesus. Make it so, Holy Spirit. I pray you'll speak to Christians as well. I pray, Holy Spirit, if there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, if there's something that you're calling us to do that we haven't agreed to do, that you would continue to speak to us, and this morning we decide to be obedient. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.